Okay, I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and go to, start off with a familiar verse. We'll go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 12, where we're warned that our battle and our warfare is not against flesh and blood. We think it is sometime. You've heard me say things like this, that they say that if you throw a rock at a cat, which is a good thing, but if you throw a rock at a cat, that the cat will look at the rock. But if you throw a rock at a dog, he'll look at you that threw the rock. We ought to be at least as smart as the dog and know who's throwing the rock, amen? And so I say that as we think about looking at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, before we get very far, I'm just going to use it kind of as a bridge tonight. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Involved in that little word wiles is telling us how scheming and how tricky and how deceptive he is. And goes on, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Now, while we celebrate all of our victories and God's blessings and the joy of the holidays with our families and all that, let's not forget we've got an enemy out there that never takes a furlough, never rests, never quits, never takes a break from wanting to do something against God and against God's people. And so we need to understand that. Now, as we stand here tonight, officially the government is supposed to be closed. Now, I've joked about that before and wondered if that means we don't pay taxes while the government's closed. Of course, we're joking around. It's not totally closed, and I'm sure there's some folks that may have missed their paychecks. They'll get them later. I have an opinion. Some of them didn't deserve a paycheck to start with. But anyway, that's just my opinion. I said some of them, not all of them. But anyway, I'm kind of like Will Rogers. Will Rogers, the comedian that early years, he made some movies and stuff, and he had rope tricks, and he's kind of a cowboy comedian. Anybody know who I'm talking about? I know some of you think I knew him personally, but I didn't. I do know this, though. I have his death somewhat marked, because almost to the day that I was born, he got killed in a plane crash. And you say, how do you know that? Because mother talked about it. And she was still talking about it when I was 3 and 4 years old and can remember some of the things she said. But I kind of liked him later as I saw a few things he wrote and said about the government. Because he shared my feelings, and the good part was he went and got in their face and shared it, and made a laughing stock out of some of the stuff that was going on. He'd really have a lot to poke fun at today, wouldn't he? I mean, compared. But I want us to think about something. As we enter the new year, government is shut down. We're at a stalemate. You've got a group up there, rather than let the president keep his promise that he made that got him elected, and that is building the wall. They'd rather shut the government down, and they'd rather never let him keep that promise. But folks, if we don't have border security, we don't have a nation. You won't have a home if you take your front door off its hinges. Just go ahead and do that tonight. If you think I'm wrong right now and you don't like what I just said, go home, take the door off the hinges, and go on in the back bedroom, go to sleep like you normally do. Huh? Now, if you're not going to do that, you ought to be for a wall on our borders. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. I just wanted to clear the air with you. You know what bothers me, though, is we've got so many of our young people deceived by the wiles of the devil that don't even know. They can't even measure what I'm talking about because they've been brainwashed from kindergarten on in many cases. And certainly once they got into so-called higher education or college, and they're being deceived in a great way. Now, the question is, I don't know what's going to happen in 2019. I've had some of you come to me and others come to me. I'm not making any big predictions. I think Jesus don't have to wait till 2019 to come. In the middle of it or half of it or all of it, he can come anytime he wants to. It'd be all right with me. But at the same time, it's going to be a tricky year. Now, I'd like to see us get a lot of things straightened out and have some good years, but the Bible says that evil is going to wax worse and worse, and it's really going to happen. But anyway, what bothers me somewhat is what I hear, not only in the news, but I actually see some people that, I mean, God's families, been raised in God's house, kids, but they've gotten brainwashed to the fact that now they're claiming the polls show that our young people think maybe socialism is better than capitalism. I wonder, can you basically explain what I'm saying when I say capitalism? When I'm talking about a way of government, a method of government? Truthfully, capitalism is freedom. Man having the right to go out and plant a crop or do anything else and make a profit off of it and keep the profit. Now, socialism kills that incentive. And I'm going to say some things you've heard me say. I'm just kind of, in fact, and you're going to hear me say it probably again, I'm going to do like everybody else. I'm going to preach a sermon or two concerning what's coming in the new year when I get around to it. But the Bible is the only place we're going to get any light on that question, any answers. But I hear young folks saying, well, we think socialism might be better. Well, they've been brainwashed that way with a bunch of so-called higher educators, professors. They are already at the top of the food chain, so to speak, and they're going to stay there. But what that will happen, if they bring in socialism, they're going to take away the middle class, and you're going to have what you have in the third world countries. You're going to have the top, and you're going to have the bottom, and you're going to be on the bottom. It don't work. It hadn't worked anywhere. Didn't work in the beginning of the settling of America, and you've heard me say this, but in the Plymouth Colony, Governor Bradford, in his writings, you can read it, first governor there, said that they tried communism as government after they got off the Mayflower. And they had the Mayflower Compact that was out there in the water before they ever moved on shore. It was a hard winter, and so they decided we would collectively share everything we got. And that sounds pretty good, but it didn't work. The hunters would go out, and if they killed a deer or for something else they brought in, it was the whole communities. Everybody shared. Sounds good except for one big thing. Here it is. Man is a depraved creature from the Garden of Eden on. When the Lord penned the Ten Commandments in the rock, the very finger of God wrote that tenth one, thou shalt not covet. But man is a covetous animal. He is depraved. And that depravity is the reason that socialism and communism will not work. It didn't work in the Plymouth Colony. The governor will tell you himself, when they begin to take responsibility for our own family, for our own food on the table, when we begin to go out and do our own thing and keep the profit we made, things changed. Even in a small group like that was, it makes a difference. If you want to see it today, and many of you have, if you want to understand what I'm talking about, because see, the brainwashing going on the TV and in the colleges and in the schools and everywhere else is, we're the richest nation in the world. How come anybody's hungry? I'll tell you how come they are. Many of them don't want to work. That's why they're hungry. They got the opportunity, the job's out. They got more jobs now. We got people to fill them. That comes back to what I'm saying, depravity. Right now, I'm talking off my head, and I may get something I plan to say, and I may not. But time may get me. Right now, you're hearing a little bit in the news where the president and others are saying we've got to tighten up on the food stamp program. Now, listen to me. Some of you ain't going to like this too much. But you know who the folks are that are going for the food stamps. The liberals are saying, oh, you're hurting the poor. No, it's not the poor. It's the lazy. There are some cases of the poor, many cases, and we want to help them. But it's able-bodied men that's taking the food stamps. They feed themselves. They run around all night. They sleep all day. And they don't want to do any better than that because that's just it. I can't hardly get on this subject without just going a little bit off. I have, as a pastor through the years here, 48 of them now, had a steady troop of people come for handouts to the church. The majority that come are just as able-bodied or more so than I am. That's the truth. I remember right over here in this corner, right about there, near the flag, I was in here one day and the guy come in and want a handout. He walked in straight and strong. And I said to him, I said, didn't you come by last year about this time? He said, yeah, preacher. I said, I believe the year before that. He said, yeah. I said, tell me, has it been 3 years and you can't find a job? He said, I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I'm going to tell you something. He said, I'm speaking for a lot of these other guys that come by here. We don't want a job. I said, well, I thank you for your honesty. But what you're really doing is asking somebody else for what they earned to take care of you, and you won't earn it yourself. Now, I'm not compassionless. I'll feed somebody if I think they're hungry. In fact, I've made several mad because I fed them when they were not hungry. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I remember I was up on top of one of these buildings. We were putting the roof on one day. It was hot. It was like it is in Florida all the time. We were working and sweating, three or four of us guys up there. And a guy was hollering at us from the ground. And so I finally went over the edge of the roof and talked with him a little bit. And I need some help. I'm hungry, and I've been conned a lot, but I'm sharper than I used to be. And I could kind of tell this guy wasn't really that hurting that bad. But I had a staff member up there working with me, a little younger than me, but he was hurting worse than me, and it was hot, and he was sweating. I called him. I won't tell you who he was. I called him over. I said, go down the ladder, and I gave him some money on my billfold. Take this guy in my car. My car was sitting right there. Take this guy in his car and take him down to McDonald's and feed him. The guy said, oh, no, just give me the money. And you just give me the money. I said, no, I'll give you the money, but we will feed you. And I said to the staff member, I said, let him order anything you'll eat long as he eats it. He come back laughing. He said, that guy wasn't no more hungry than nothing. Said, we went in there and he said, he begged me all the way down there for the money. Even after we got in there, he tried to get me to give him the money and just leave him. He said, I said, no, the preacher said, you go eat. He said he wasn't hungry. He said he sat there and picked around and nibbled a little bit, but he was mad because we wouldn't give him the money. Now, all of them aren't that way, but there's a bunch of them that way. There's a bunch of them that way. And if we let that crowd continue to grow and influence our government to the place that that's all we are taking care of, we're not going to have much government left. We're not going to have much country left. It is going to wear out. When we was over in Russia, I started to say this a while ago, and you've heard me say it, but it impressed me so much. A number of us was over there a couple of trips, getting the Bibles in, and they make you stay, they assign you the hotel you got to stay in. They're watching you. They even had a microphone in our room and all that business hid in the fire alarm system. But anyway, You see all the, what we would call city or government employees, but they were not working. They were standing around smoking. I don't know who bought the cigarettes for them, but that was, they were just one after another, just standing there. Now, so finally, through some of the underground Baptist interpreters, I got to talk to some of them. I said, look, some of these buildings are crumbling. There's potholes in the road. The sidewalks are broke up. And you guys are just standing around. You're not fixing anything. And here was the answer, and you've heard me say it before. They smiled and said, preacher, our government pretends to pay us, and we pretend to work. It's a game we play. Hey, that's what America has become in several areas. It's a joke that's going to kill us. Now, I don't use all my time up on that except to say, our system of government, capitalism, is where man has his freedom and where he has responsibility and where he ought to have some right kind of pride when it comes to taking care of himself and earning his own way. You see the old commercial, I hadn't seen it in a long time, but it was advertising stocks or investments or something on TV. And it said, we make our money the old-fashioned way, we earn it, and that's what made this country, and that's what will preserve our country, but we're selling it down the creek right now. So when it comes to the border and the caravans, I feel sorry for the people, but America can't take care of the whole world. We cannot tax-wise do it. And don't have a guilt trip put on you when you have people saying, we're the richest country in the world. Yeah, and if we don't do what made us rich, we won't be rich long. Yes. As simple as that. Now, the Bible says, which side does the Bible come on? Well, if you want to go over to Matthew chapter 20. I won't take time to read it, but you got a story in Matthew chapter 20, about the first 15, 16 verses of it. And in that story, the Lord Jesus is the one that told it. And he told how the man went out to hire workers, remember? And how he hired them from daylight, basically through the workday. And all of them he hired, he promised them a penny. Now, that's just a figure there. But whatever the wage was, the first ones that came, that's what he promised them for a day's work. Some come later, he hired them, he promised them same pay. And then some came the very last hour of the day, and he paid them the same. And you know what they did? They griped. They said, hey, we worked all day and made X amount. This last guy, he only worked an hour and he made the same amount. Now, if you want to look at it, look at verse 15 in Matthew chapter 20. The Lord's answer to this, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So what he's saying is, if I paid somebody more than you, I paid you exactly what I promised you. Now that's free enterprise. That's capitalism. That's freedom to give or not give. It's my money. That's what Ananias and Sapphira had a little problem with, remember? Peter said to him, it was yours all the time. You didn't have to give any of it. But what was their sin? Their sin was not giving. Their sin was lying about it, faking it. Preachers could tell you stories about folks that fake it. Sure could. And most of the time, folks that are really got their heart and their treasure and their giving, they don't care whether they get any earthly credit or not. And I've sometime reminded somebody, if I brag on you too much, I'll steal your reward. You don't want me to do that, you know. Anyway, but our young people, from according to the polls, they've been brainwashed to destroy the old American system that not only made America great, but pretty well took care of the world. I think it's wrong for our military to have to go to other nations and protect the whole world on our dime. I really do. And that's what's been going on at least since World War II, if not World War I. We have troops everywhere paying the bills for it, protecting somebody else. Well, they don't have to have a standing army. We are their army. And that's that ought to be corrected too, by the way. But anyway, I want to say this. I don't know what the year is going to bring, but I read you the verse over there which deals with powers in high places. That's the devil. Now, if you could pull the curtain back and look, America is on the fence. We are in trouble. And you heard me say before, it's like we are fighting for our soul, because it's going to go one way or the other. It's going to go pretty fast. And we ought to pray about it, and we ought to stand up and contend not only for the faith and the gospel, but we ought to contend up for the old American way. We ought to rather earn our way than having it given to us, or earn our way rather than finding a clever way to steal it from somebody else. Don't you get sick and tired of these cons that call you on the phone? It is amazing to me that they can have a clear conscience at night after they've called on the phone to try to rip off some old person and steal. But no, they're proud. They outsmarted us. And to them, their work is conning somebody. I've had some calls out. I've got to where I'm not even nice to them anymore. And that's an understatement. But anyway, that's what's going on big time. And the sad part is, and you read it in the paper every now and then, hear about it in several cases, people fall for it. I've had church members right here, and it's been going on for years. It didn't just start. I've had church members, older folks right here, that got conned that way and were actually embarrassed to even tell me about it. I had to find out out of some other indirect way. And you just like to get your hands on some of those cons. But they see that as, that's their work. That's their job. They're happy to do that. That's a country which has lost its moral bearings. It's too bad. Now, a lot of those cons, and you can almost tell, there's one that keeps calling my house. I've been doing it now for 2 or 3 years. Now, it's not the same person, but it's the same M.O. Do I have to interpret that? It's the same plan that they use, and you recognize it. Same plan. One of the easiest ways that I know, just hang up as soon as I hear the word, they don't call me Mickey. Is Mikey home? If I feel like it, I'll carry on with them just to be mean. But most of the time, it's hanging up. I ain't got time to fool with that. But here's what they do. Somehow, they got my phone number, and they have passed it around now for 2 years. For 2 years, different years. So another one said, oh, here's another sucker I tried. Somehow they sell the information to somebody else, and they use that. I think it was Brother Jeff Cruz up there in the balcony. Maybe he told me that he knows how to handle those folks. He has a lot of fun with them. Well, I believe it was Jeff telling me that he led one of them on and on. They were going to come out and do this, that, and the other. And he finally said, oh, yes, and Mother's going to let me go out and play tomorrow also. After he led them on a while. I mean, he knows some ways to do it. I don't have that much patience. But the truth is, that's their work. They rather con. And by the way, have you ever seen somebody that worked harder getting out of work than actually doing the work? We got this mindset going on. But I want to just say, and I finally get to where I was going. We know what a puppeteer is, a puppet master. Do we understand that? Somebody's pulling the strings and the puppet's down here dancing around. You know what I'm talking about? Well, in a great degree, the crooks in our government and other places, colleges and other places, they're pulling strings. They got a lot of folks dancing to their tune and fooling a lot of people. But we need to go a little bit deeper than that. While I do believe that does go on, and I believe, for instance, when we talk about draining the swamp, when we talk about the shadow government, when we talk about the dark government out there, there's a lot of truth to that. A lot of it is. One of the things that's made our president so popular is that he would not play ball with them. And the hatred that he expressed to him is because he won't go in and go by the rules they already had established. And I like him for that. I'm glad he's got courage enough to do that, and I am amazed he's still alive, to tell you the truth. But with all that said, there is a higher puppeteer, and that's the devil. And that takes me back to my text in Ephesians 6:12. Takes me back to my story about let's not just look at the rock that's thrown at us, let's look who threw the rock. And the devil's throwing the rock. We better see that. Therefore, our prayer life is more important because we are waging a spiritual warfare. And while I think it's okay to be mad at the people or against the people that the devil is using, but we got to look behind them. I know a story or two, and I'm sure you do, of people that the devil was using tremendously. Their philosophy was wrong. Everything about what they were doing was wrong. And then somehow in God's grace, they got saved and just flipped from deception and lies to the truth. Do you know anybody like that? I sure do. I could tell you different ones. Once in a while, you see one on a talk show or in the news or something else that used to be just a liberal's liberal, far to the left, just left wing as they could be, and they got straightened out. I heard a movie star not too long ago giving that testimony, and here he was just standing on the values just like I do, and the guy said, how did you change? And he started giving him a testimony about meeting the Lord and getting to the truth and all that. You heard me tell about and mention him once in a while, William Murray is the son of Madeline Murray. We nicknamed Madeline Murray, remember? We nicknamed her Madeline Murray. Anybody remember? Anybody remember Bob Harrington? Bob Harrington was a con man evangelist. He might have actually been saved, but he called himself the chaplain of Bourbon Street. Anybody remember that? Well, anyway, he did. And he was out there in Louisiana and New Orleans and all that business. Later on, he wound up right here in Florida and right over here in Lakeland. But by that time, he'd had a split up with his marriage and everything else. But he was a con man. Madeline Murray, 1954, when I graduated high school, she was able to get into the Supreme Court. And she was the one behind the case that caused prayer to be taken out of the public schools. Do you remember who I'm talking about now? Now, here's the thing. She used her son as the case to go to the Supreme Court that he was in the classroom offended by the Lord's Prayer, which was still being said back then. And they won the case, and prayer and Bible reading officially became illegal by the Supreme Court's decision. Well, she went on and created her atheist thing, atheist club, even the Russians. She tried to go to Russia, and Russia wouldn't have her. Literally, that happened. And she got her organization, atheistic organization, got a lot of power and got a lot of following. When Bob Harrington, when the preacher's kind of went thumbs down on him. He was pretty popular there for a while, but when the preachers began to see what he was, he got together with Madeline Murray, and they came into Florida and other places, and they put on what we'd call a church service, but it was a fake. And Bob would get up and preach, and oh, he was a comedian. He was interesting. He was funny, and he was actually preaching the truth much of the time. But he was in it for the money. He told a doctor friend of mine that I know that he went to the doctor, and the doctor, examining him and talking to him, asked him, said, Bob, don't you ever miss the ministry? And Bob said, no. And then just a minute later, he said, well, I'll tell you the truth, I miss the money. Now, that's really something to say, isn't it? I miss the money. It was the cunning that he was doing. But he would have a meeting coming through Florida, up here in Orlando, and other places, and he'd gather a room this big or bigger, full of people. And Madeline Murray would show up, and they were supposed to debate. So the advertisement in the papers would be going to be a debate between atheists, Madeline Murray and Bob Harrington. And they'd put on a good show. At one point in the show, she'd jump up and head to the American flag, like our flag right there. And Bob would holler, stop her, don't let her get the flag. And they'd just about have chaos, and the newspapers would write it up and even get some flashes on TV about it. Am I the only one who remembers that stuff? I look out there and you're looking at, what's he talking about? It happened, folks, and it happened right here in Florida, and it was on some of the news. It was certainly in the newspapers. It was all a con. It was a setup. Well, one reporter finally got smart enough to start following them, and they'd go to another state, to another location. They went through the same format, the same script, including her running for the flag. And the reporter exposed it, and it kind of broke up that party. But Madeline Murray had a son, Bill, and it was Bill that was in the schoolroom and went into the Supreme Court case with his mother, and they won, and they kicked prayer and Bible reading out of the school. Now, Madeline Murray was a loudmouth, vulgar, gross, self-proclaimed atheist, and she got a lot of money sent to her. I was in a meeting when Ronald Reagan was running for president. And I was in a room much bigger than this one. We had a pile of preachers show up, and Ronald Reagan was there to talk to us. And I sat down in a seat, and I introduced myself to the guy. He said, well, preacher, I'm William Murray. Probably you know my mama. I said, no, I don't know your mama. He said, Mad Madeline Murray? I said, oh, that mama. Yeah. And he said, I want to tell you something, though. I just got saved. And we had a good talk. He said, you preachers are going to have to help me grow because I don't know much, but I know I got saved. Well, Bill's still got a great ministry going. We send him a few dollars once in a while on around Christmas time at other times because he goes over and he feeds the orphans and he has a ministry with the Christians in Syria and other places. He's very knowledgeable and very hard worker, won a lot of souls. But anyway, Madeline Murray met her demise. Here's the way the devil does you. Young people, you ought to listen. You sell out to the devil and you may think you're winning, but in the end, he collects the rent. In the end, you pay for it. And Madeline Murray had that organization. Somehow money came in, of course. And she had staff. And their organization business-wise. But then she disappeared. And they couldn't find her. Now, do you remember that in the news? Yeah, okay, some of you nodding your head. That was in the news big time. They looked for her a long time. And they finally found out what happened. her and one of her leading staff members had a financial fuss. He wanted the money and she wanted the money or whatever. They had a farm or a ranch or something as part of the organization, and they left the uptown office somehow or another. Here's how it ended up. He and maybe some others with him killed her. Murderer. But they didn't only murder her, they chopped her up. And they buried her in like 50-gallon drums out there on that property. But they finally figured it all out. Now, with all that said, I'm saying to you, I know some people that was on the wrong side, like Bill Murray. And they got the truth, and the truth switched them. And the light came on, and they got out of the darkness. And today, we ought not hide in the corner. The issues are real. The battle is real. As we move into 2019, our nation's in a struggle for its life. Do what you can. Pray. The best thing we can do, of course, is win folks to the Lord. I've said this to you before. I'm saying it again as we're starting off 2019. I don't need any of you apologizing for me, for what I'm going to say and what I have said and what I am saying. Now, if you can't live with the heat in the kitchen, get out of the kitchen. If you can't stand to let somebody know you go to Landmark because of that uncouth preacher down there and he preaches politics and blah, 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 find you a quiet little meek preacher somewhere. There's lots of them. And they won't offend nobody. And go there and just rock yourself to sleep. But sooner or later, you're going to miss the freedoms that men with backbones stood up and fought for in America. And I challenge you tonight, as we start off the new year, let's hit it running. Let's win everybody we can to the Lord. Let's stand for what is right. And let's not, of all things, be ashamed of what we believe when it's biblical. And we line it up with the Bible. And we line it up with what Jesus said. Jesus taught there in Matthew 20, free enterprise. Capitalism. Capitalism is a system that America and England and a few others have fed the world, but mainly America. Mainly America. Why would we want to trade that in for something that don't work? I'm so sad when I hear what I hear on TV about polls with young people, and I actually run across some young people who once knew better, but they've been brainwashed. I'd rather my kid not graduate from the third grade than to go to one of these liberal colleges and get a PhD and become a... Well, I started to use a word I better not use. Liberal. I had a word in front of it, but I won't use it. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you say, it's not going to happen to my kids. Uh-huh. I'm right here. A lot of young people in here tonight. Young people, what you're being taught in Sunday school now is what you need to still believe if Jesus don't come 50 years from now. You're going to run across the devil with all his wiles, with all his slickness when you get in some of those places. But you better get grounded now. And what mom and daddy believes and what your preacher believes and what your Sunday school teacher believes, you hold on to that. The day is going to come that our nation's going to depend on whether we can pass it on or not. I hope we can. I just got off on that a little bit tonight. I want you to see the devil is pulling the strings. Yes, he's using, I call them useful idiots down here. He's using them. But he is the mastermind up there, and that's where the struggle is. And that's why it's not just church as usual. We ought to stand for something and represent something, believe something, and speak up on it. Amen? Amen. All right, let's stand. I have been informed.